Are you a prepper or homesteader looking to connect with like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own preparedness group? Already have a group? Well, look no further than PrepperNet. PrepperNet is dedicated to personal responsibility, individual freedoms, and being self-reliant. PrepperNet has monthly meetings in over 100 cities where you can meet and learn with like-minded people in your area. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Find us online at PrepperNet.com.
Hey guys, this is Forrest from the Prepping Academy. Today we're going to play part two of the Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy webinar. And the video you can find on YouTube, if you search for PrepperNet channel, you'll see the video. It's roughly a two and a half hour video that we're breaking into two segments, and this will be segment number two. Hope you guys enjoy it. Hey, join us at PreppingAcademy.com. Take care.
Survive. Thrive. Stay alive. It's time to get prepared with the Prepping Academy podcast.
All right, so you see that little dot there? That's a micron. And so the N95 mask is protective against about 95%, that's why they call it 95, percent of particulates that are larger than 0.3 microns in size. Now, that means they're not 100%, that's why they're called N95s. The N actually means non-oil resistant. There are oil resistant and there's oil proof masks also. These are used usually in industrial workplaces and maybe agricultural situations, but you don't need that. But you do need an N95s to have a good amount of protection. Now, the interesting thing is that the coronavirus is smaller than 0.3 microns. So you would think that this mask would not actually be protective, but they actually did studies in Saudi Arabia with a related virus called MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. We talked about that earlier. And they found that people that wore N95 masks, although the virus itself was smaller than what they say that these protect from, actually had a great deal more protection than people that use either just standard surgical masks or no masks at all when they were exposed to people with the infection. So indeed, it's still a pretty decent thing to have. So you should have a decent amount of them. There are N99 masks that are 99% effective against 0.3 microns or greater. And there's N100, which are 99.7%, not quite 100%. These are also available. They're a lot more expensive. So the N95s are probably more bang for the buck. You get decent protection with, and you're able to probably afford a number of them. Well, the thing with this is that none of these masks cover the eyes. So you need either a face shield or a goggle. Here's goggle.
I have the face shield.
You have a face shield? Okay, well, with a goggle, what you do is you're going to hold the front of it, and then place it on your face. Simply put, just like this, make sure you have a nice seal. And she has a face shield. And this goes over, by the way, this is going over your mask. So this is not instead.
You can switch to us.
This is not instead of a mask. This is in addition to a mask.
Right.
Preferably an N95.
And mask on first.
So basically, mask goes on first. These go on later. These go off first, okay? But you're not touching the front. You're taking them off like this. And the mask goes off later. Okay, she's showing us that. So here she has pretty decent protection against viral particles. And when she, what do you got here?
Oh, and I'm going to even show that even more protection.
There are even hoods that you can put on, but what you would do is you would put on the hood and then put on the face shield. Otherwise, it steams up on you. So you definitely don't want to do that. Now, let's show them the coveralls. There are a number of different coveralls. Are you okay?
Yeah, it's not easy to breathe through these N95s.
Well, you get some protection. The fabric is called melt-blown fabric. And so as a result, it does give you quite a... Actually, you're supposed to do this. You hold it like this.
I did. I showed them
that.
Okay,
you show them how to do it. Okay.
But you can do it again if you'd like.
All right. So basically...
We have a video on this. It's very detailed.
Right. If you go to our... Let's just have them go to our video. The video is called Face Mask.
I did mine while you were doing the ear loop. So we did the demonstration at the same. Okay. I don't want to bore them with putting on these masks over and over.
Now, coveralls are used in situations where there are very significant dangers just from splatter or dealing with people who are sick with a very contagious disease. Ebola, for example, you needed to have these kinds of materials, and you'll see a lot of the Chinese medical workers are using these kinds of materials. Right. This particular coverall happens to have a hood, so you don't necessarily have to have a separate hood that you would use for it. Now, the interesting thing about these is that when I wrote about Ebola, basically, we would... Once you had put this on, then you put your gloves on.
Well, you had one glove on already, and then you put the second one on.
I would put a first glove on.
Go ahead.
And then this, let's say this was my second glove.
Nope, that's your first. Now we have a second glove, which is actually interesting because they're now having extended cuffs. So the second glove goes on.
Much longer wrists.
Which is nice. Put your hand in there.
Gloves. So I'm putting my hand in here, and... I got to get my fingers in. There you go.
Okay. And now these are actually able to go up over the cuffs, which is really nice. See how long that is?
Now, the way can tell that you have a good fit from your coverall is by raising your hand over your head. If you stretch and you're still covered, your sleeve is still covered,
right here.
Your wrist is still covered, then you are safe. You have put that on correctly.
Right.
So that's it. In the old days, they used to allow you to use duct tape to wrap here to form a seal. Now, what instead they want you to do is they want you to, I'm going to have to show you how to do this.
With the first glove.
Okay. You have one glove on. Then what you do is you
put your hand up a little higher.
You put your hand, but still right there. Right. You're still in the coverall with your thumb. Do you see that?
That's just holding it down.
Right.
And then you put your second glove
on. Then you put your second glove on over that.
Or you can also put a hole in it. Don't want to put a hole in my cover. Thank you.
Okay, but
if
can
you put a thumb hole, it will actually hold this in place. And then you can put the second longer glove that covers the cuff up so that your wrist is protected. You want to cover as much of your body as possible. This has a hood. And when you zip this up, this is actually elastic, and this will sit up underneath your chin. So you've got your goggles and your face mask on, and then you have very little amount of skin that is exposed at that point, which is nice.
And a face shield would actually cover you pretty well too. Now, another interesting thing is that these coveralls have booties. However, these booties are not enough protection.
No.
So what you need to have is boots. If you have waders, things like that, this is a medical boot. This is something that you would use.
Oh, that's actually a good picture.
Okay, there's a
that
picture.
That was a picture of the coverage with the zip, right?
Right.
Go to the next one. Let's keep seeing that.
Yep.
That was putting in the glove, checking, right?
Right. This is a few years old, but you see I had two
now
sets
this is
of
starting
gloves.
To take
okay, wait,
off.
Stop there. Biohazard bag. Now, when I remove materials, my coveralls and things like that, I have opened up a biohazard bag and I'm standing in it. So as I am removing things, that coverall is coming down, 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 and it ends up in the biohazard bag as I step away from it. You can go keep going a little further for us. You see the boots there? Those are my actual boots. and to remove, as you can see, to remove the hood, basically you want to get inside. You don't want to touch what's outside. So you see that I actually went inside and I I everted it, pulled it inside out, and then pulled it back over my head. Do the next slide for us. Pulled it over and pulled it back over my head.
I want you to actually go to us for a second.
Uh-oh. Don't make me put that on. All right, well, there you go.
Just flash to us for a second. So hold on. Nope, so imagine this is zipped. It's just hard to stand up and do this. So I've rolled this back to get it off of my head without touching my head. This is a very complicated situation. I will say that most of the donning, or excuse me, the doffing, the taking off, should be done with a second person.
Right. Matter of
fact, they recommend that actually the second person is in a full suit and they actually remove it for you without touching the inside of any of your contaminated biohazard suit, so that you have somebody who's freshly put on their suit taking off your contaminated suit.
Get me that bucket, please. Another thing that is very useful is to have a bucket that already has maybe a bleach solution. And just so any old bucket from Home Depot or Lowe's will do, and you can actually put your boots there.
There are two things that you can drop in here. The boots.
And your goggles.
And the goggles. Those are the two things that you can reuse.
Anything you might consider reusing.
Nothing else can be reused.
Hey, let's take a quick break.
Has your data been hacked? Do you feel uneasy about the vulnerability of your personal information online? Were you involved in the Target, LinkedIn, or Microsoft data leaks? Don't know? If not, then pay attention. Join Forrest Garvin from PrepperNet for a free webinar on privacy and security. Gain insights into safe internet browsing, VPNs, crafting online aliases, secure emails, detecting if your data has been hacked, and managing passwords. Secure your spot today for this webinar on privacy and security. It's free. This webinar delves into comprehensive strategies for bolstering your online privacy. We've got you covered, from fortifying your passwords to shielding your financial information and mastering state-of-the-art encryption techniques. We're offering two convenient dates to suit your schedule. Reserve your spot now at preppernet.com/privacy. Don't let cyber threats erode your peace of mind any longer. Take the first step toward a safer, more secure online experience by joining us for our free webinar. Remember, knowledge is power when it comes to safeguarding your privacy. Sign up now at preppernet.com/privacy. We'll see you there.
So there you go. Let's go now all the way towards the end, because I want to talk a little bit about a survival sick room. So here you see me going through the process. You see how it goes.
You're doing it by yourself.
And I'm doing
Hopefully
it by
that
myself.
That will never happen.
Yeah, right. You don't want to, but sometimes you may have to. And so as you see, everything will end up in a biohazard bag.
And he's not touching the outside of the suit.
All right. Keep going. Go ahead. And you see, everything's being touched. Everything I'm touching is on the inside. And whenever you grab a mask, you want to make sure you remove things in such a fashion so you never, ever touch the front of the mask. And you see where the mask is going into the biohazard bag. And then you wash your hands, you know, or take a shower if you're in a truly contagious situation. Let's talk about survival sick rooms. For epidemics of contagious disease, there has to be some place where you're going to isolate the sick people from the healthy people. That's a pretty hard reality. You got to do that, but you want to give the sick folks, well, the best chance to be able to recover while protecting the people that are healthy, right? You don't want to have more people. You can't afford to have more people get infected. So you got to do something. And the first decision that has to be made is whether you're staying in place or whether you're getting out of Dodge. If you're staying in place, then you have to choose a room in the house where the sick people are going to be cared for. You should think about this. I mean, I don't want you to have a sick room today or tomorrow, but you should think about what you would do in this kind of situation. So that room should be separate from common areas, shouldn't be near where people are eating or where most of the traffic is in the house. It should have good ventilation, it should have good light, and preferably a door or some other physical barrier between it and the rest of the retreat. So it should have some kind of way to close it, but still should have good ventilation, good lighting. If the wiser choice is to get out of Dodge, well, you know, shelter is an issue that you may be addressed by having maybe a dedicated tent as the sick room and placing it maybe at the periphery of the camp. And on that situation, again, you want to have a tent that has good ventilation. That's very important. You want to have good air circulation. Now, I want to say this about sick rooms in a retreat or a camp. If you have a mutual assistance group and they're all going to meet at your place or they're all going to go to this particular area, they're usually going to bring one tent that is their place. Now, for groups where a number of people are living together in a home or in a camp, if you don't designate what the sick tent is before a disaster happens, that puts somebody at risk at losing their home because of the greater good. And that is going to breed a lot of discontent and resentment at a time when everybody needs to pull together. So if you have a sick room in a retreat, if you have it in an area where there's air ducts, like air conditioning, from air conditioning ducts, of course, they may not be working. You may be off the grid. The grid may be down. Well, decent ventilation is great when everybody's healthy, but when somebody's sick, especially with an airborne virus, like influenza or like this coronavirus might be, the air ducts are actually more of a danger than a benefit. And you actually may have microbes or passing through the air ducts in the sick room to other areas of the house. It could represent a risk of transmission of diseases. So you need to cover with duct tape in that kind of situation, only in that situation. If you're using a room as a hospital room for somebody that broke a leg or something like that, that's different than somebody who has a possibly contagious disease. In your tents, you want to keep those flaps open, especially in bad weather, except in bad weather, excuse me. And basically you want to have screening in case there are a lot of insects, you know, things like that. Now, furnishings in the sick room. Furnishings in the sick room should be very minimal, maybe a work surface, an exam area, a bed space or bed spaces. In mild weather, some of these beds can be outside as long as shade is provided via a canopy or some other means. Hard surfaces, they're preferable to any fabric. And they may not be as comfortable, but they're much more preferable to fabric upholstery. Cloth can cause the accumulation of disease-causing organisms, have all sorts of splatter that you may not be able to notice or may not be able to get out. So even bedding in some circumstances may be best covered in plastic. If I had an Ebola patient, I would be putting plastic on their bed, on their cot. The bottom line is the more areas that you can disinfect easily, the better it is. Now, it's important to have a way to eliminate the waste products. So you need maybe just a 5-gallon bucket and some bleach solution. That might not be bad. Containers with lids should be made available so that you can put used sick room items or like a hamper, that things that need cleaning. You need a station near the entrance of the sick room or your hospital tent so that you can have caregivers equipment like masks and gloves, gowns, aprons, whatever personal protection gear is necessary for the situation, and make sure you always have a good supply of those items. Maybe a basin with water and soap, other disinfectants, that's useful. You want, of course, have thermometers as well. That's going to be another very, very useful item. Many people consider medical supplies to consist of like gauze and tourniquets and battle dressings, and of course that's the interesting stuff that people think about when they're thinking about preparedness. But you also have to have dedicated sets of sheets, towels, pillows that you are going to dedicate to the sick person. You don't want to be using those in somebody that is sick with a contagious disease and then have somebody else wind up using it. You have to keep these items separate from the bedding and bathing and eating materials of the healthy members of your group. So that's something also that's very important that a lot of people don't really think about. Cleaning supplies, also medical preparedness items. We have a lot of, let's say, Clorox wipes and Lysol and a simple bleach solution, 1 to 10 bleach solution would be good. Don't forget you want to disinfect doorknobs and
Yeah, it doesn't have entrances. To be something fancy. I just want to say that you don't have to buy very expensive products to actually kill viruses. One important thing, though, if you have like mucus or vomit and you pour bleach or some product like that, it may not penetrate deep inside that mucus. So you may still have viral particles inside of there that are still active. So if something is kind of mounted or piled up or, you know, globular mucusy, you may not be able to kill the virus. You need to do like a hazmat thing. You need to get rid of that.
I just touched my face.
Junk.
You just touched my face.
You need with special precautions to clean up that area. And then once you've gotten rid of that mound of whatever it is, then you can clean the surface with the 1-10 bleach solution.
Right. Then again, okay, so remember plates, cups, eating utensils, these are also things that should be dedicated.
1-9.
Dedicated to the sick person. And one additional item that a lot of people don't think about is your sick room patient should have a noisemaker of some sort, a whistle maybe, that'll allow you to alert them, allow them to alert you, hold on, when they need help. This is going to decrease anxiety and give them confidence that you haven't forgotten about them. So I think that's good. I'm sorry.
I don't think we actually showed them.
This is in our pandemic kit. We have a number of different types of biohazard bags, and this is one big one that would be very useful to stand in to actually get rid of all of
this
the
is a 30,
item you're covering.
33 gallon.
Right.
I got three quick questions.
Yes.
Three. I'm gonna ask them all three at the same time.
All right.
Will HEPA filters help in your air conditioner, in your heating unit, Tamiflu, and thieves oil?
All right. Okay.
So, viral particles are really small.
Right. So it's hard to say, but if the HEPA filter says that it will actually filter out these items, then that's something that is okay. I mean, I would be pretty happy with that. I would remind you that masks and things like that, I didn't mention this, I wanted to make sure mentioned this. Masks do not stop things like gas, like chlorine, things like, you can still be overcome by chlorine or other chemicals if you are wearing these N95s or any of these kinds of masks. For those who need an actual gas mask.
Let's also review what you said on your video about this not being appropriate for the virus we have now.
Okay, well, the only reason...
This is better.
Right. The only reason is because the fit is tighter with that than this.
Right. These are a lot, and you're seeing a lot of people with it.
The
really
N95
loose.
Versus the face surgical one.
They're showing it like... not folded, you're seeing it barely on the nose, you're seeing it open on the sides. People just aren't wearing them very well, and they have said that these are almost useless.
Tamiflu, very good for influenza. Now the thing with Tamiflu that's very important and you should always realize is that Tamiflu is only useful, and not only Tamiflu but Relenza and this new one day treatment called Xofluza, these are only useful if taken within the first 48 hours of having symptoms. If you take them after that time, it's probably not going to do you much good at all. It doesn't really affect it. If you take it early, however, it will decrease the length of your illness and probably the severity of your symptoms. So don't forget to, I personally recommend that you ask your doctor for a prescription for one of these medicines before flu season begins in your part of the country. So I think that that's something that's very important. You certainly want to have the ability to have a prescription for one of these antivirals. I think that that's something that's very important.
Right, they just don't know yet. I do want to go back to the filters because we basically have, I don't know, 7 or 8 different filters throughout the house. I have moved a lot of mine from the HEPA filters that I had before. Which, by the way, they will filter our viruses. The problem is it'll get clogged up. So you have to replace your filters on a very regular basis. But what I do have are the UV light filters. And those I love. I have them in my air conditioning units. And I have them all around the house. So the UV light filters, I personally think are a wonderful thing. So I have moved to them, so I don't have to constantly replace these filters that are not cheap. That's
what was
sure.
What was your third question?
Well, I'm going to add one to it. One is thieves.
No, thieves oil.
All right, elderberry.
If you're going to use thieves oil, I have no problem with it. You know that there's inhalation therapy. You get 2 or 3 drops of thieves oil, for example, and you breathe and you can breathe it. If you're going to put thieves oil and use it, I would put it maybe a drop or two on the inside of your mask.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same exact thing.
Oh, good.
Yep. It cannot hurt.
Right.
Which is the point.
And a lot of people do believe it's been thought by many that will have a beneficial effect in decreasing the risk of spread.
And elderberry boost immune system. I think that's one of the first things that I mentioned before we even got into all of these statistics and death rates and whatnot, was that building your immune system is the best thing, besides washing your hand and social distancing, keeping yourself away from sick people, is that we are the medicine. How we eat, how we take care of ourselves. And elderberry does help, I believe, your immune system. So I think it's a wonderful thing. Anything we can do that makes our machine work better to fight off everything, every single day. We personally have mutations in our cell replications that could potentially become cancer. Every day, there's that potential. We're constantly replicating cells. And if something goes a little haywire, hopefully your immune system sends the troops in, takes care of it, and says, nope, that's not happening today. So if we keep our bodies working really well, hopefully, you know, we stay healthier from any virus that comes, any pandemic, and, you know, anything else that goes on.
Okay, how about colloidal silver?
Colloidal silver is, before there were antibiotics, there was colloidal silver. And for wound care and for prevention of infection, for especially on skin wounds and skin sores and things like that, I think that silver is very useful. The silver is in something called silvadine, and that's used for bed sores and things like that to prevent infections. Now, colloidal silver, if you just drink colloidal silver as an ion, there is anecdotal evidence that indeed it may decrease the chance for infection. However, the thing with ions is they're like members of the Lonely Hearts Club. They want a partner. And so in the human body, the chloride that we have in sodium chloride, when you have silver ions, winds up connecting with the silver and forming something called silver chloride. And silver chloride in the human body, as far as we know, is generally inert. In other words, doesn't have much of an effect. So the answer is a lot of hard scientific data for using it on wounds, less so used internally.
So when Ed mentioned spraying it on the mask.
Oh, okay, I don't see any reason why you couldn't do that.
I don't see a harm.
Next question. The N95 mask with goggles, will it stop you from getting the virus? If you don't touch your face, could you literally not get the virus?
We don't know.
I would say this, that
for sure.
With Saudi Arabian studies that were done with the Middle East respiratory syndrome, okay, which remember is a cousin of the current virus that's going on,
right.
The epidemic that's raging in China, that it, yes, had a big effect in terms of decreasing the amount of infection that occurred in medical workers.
Right, but what he's saying is completely stop. So we can never say 100%.
Well, you got me there, because 100% is tough to say.
But all of that is better than nothing. So each thing that you do, and the reason you're seeing these people wearing this all over Asia is this is what they have, and these are cheap.
Right.
And they're, you know, they can get them over there for pennies because that's where they're making them. So these people are wearing them because that's what they can afford, and then they can throw them away. If you're sick, and this is, we've talked about this many times, and we have this on our DVD, the pandemic DVD, is the person who's sick should be wearing this, because if they cough or sneeze, it at least is getting caught here. So
those
it's
are
not
big droplets
projecting over into you, Forrest.
Right. Those or, are big droplets.
Or Joe or the healthcare worker. You know, it's less that's coming out into the air to possibly get you infected. And the healthcare worker or people who are concerned or in close contact with people who are sick are the ones who should be wearing these.
Okay.
This is the safety. Now, if something comes to my community and I have to go to the grocery store, I won't because I'm a prepper. But if I had to go to the grocery store for some reason, I'm putting on a 95. I'm probably putting on, you know, goggles. I'm going to look like a freakazoid going into the grocery store. And I'm probably going to wear a couple of pairs of gloves because I was at the grocery store today. I was buying things that I thought would be kind of fun to have if there was a problem. I bought beef jerky. I bought some chocolate syrup. I bought really? More tuna fish.
I'll be back.
I bought, you know, some treats for him. But I thought about treats. All the things that I touch because I look at labels. I read fat and carbs. And I touch things. And I look at expiration dates, which most people do. They pick up items. You don't know how many people touched that item just before you did.
Yep. Absolutely.
And so I got to the checkout and I thought, you know, I just touched hundreds of items, and I called the manager over.
And the cashier did too, touched every single item.
And then the
bought.
Cashier moved it. And I talked to the manager, said, you know, you guys have wipes outside the grocery store. When you get your cart, you can get a couple of wipes. And I wipe, we always, for years, we have wiped down the cart, the handles, everything I touch. In fact, I have lately been keeping two of them in my hand, and anytime I do touch something, I wipe it down or I pick it up with the wipe in my hand. But I got to the checkout and I said, you guys need to have the tubs of the Clorox or, you know, these things that I'm buying, these hand wipes here, not just on the outside, but when people are leaving. Right. Because I've personally just touched 300 things. I don't want to get sick as a customer, and you don't want your employees to get sick.
Okay.
She's like, oh, we can't do that.
This is user question. This is my question. The other night, and I sent you guys this podcast to listen to. It's frightening, but Dr. Hatfield actually said that the vaccines for all these different things that we're talking about, none of them are made in America. Does that concern you?
Well, yeah, because we're obviously not going to be the first priority when it comes to getting a virus, a viral vaccine. Certainly, a lot of these vaccines most probably come from Asia. And so that's one big issue.
But, you know, Donald Trump, you know, love him or hate him, he signed an executive order to start making these vaccines in America. And that was at the end of last year, which is a great thing.
So. Well, the question is, are any of the companies going to, you know, take up the flag? Because right. A lot of these pharmaceutical companies, it's all about the money for them. If it's financially feasible and profitable for them to make these vaccinations, which is a lot of research and development, a lot of money goes into this. If they think it's monetarily worth it, then they will. Now, Donald Trump signing a piece of paper may not make Johnson & Johnson or these other pharmaceutical companies, Merck, decide that they are going to try to do this. Or they might see dollar signs floating around and say, hey, this is a great idea. You know, I would like to see more of our medications made here. You know, I Look, hate just, that most of our medicines make, come from
make,
China.
We make very little stuff here at all. I mean, there's no cell phones that are made in the United States. None. How many cell phones are there in the United States? And none of them, zero, are made here.
Hey, let's take a quick break.
Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and clearly explained. Listen to the Word of God in your car or home or work while it transforms your mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. Knowing the Bible can give you peace and joy in this hectic world. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast on all podcast sites.
They might be some of the parts put together now, but they're not made here. They assembled some of them.
Like the Apple logo.
Apple assembles things that were made elsewhere here.
Okay. Are N95 masks an N95 mask? Like, you can go to the paint section of Home Depot, and they have some for paint, some for dust, some for, are they still, N95 is an N95. No matter what the label.
Yeah, but that's, but you have to
there's
make
letters.
They're probably not N95s. They're probably R95s or P95s. In other words, oil proof or oil resistant. And N, the N stands for non-oil resistant, because they don't have to be oil resistant to prevent germs, bacteria and viruses and stuff like that from getting into you. So basically, you don't, I don't know how much they cost, but basically these are specifically meant for medical purposes, and they're probably cheaper than a lot, you know, per unit than a lot of the other ones.
So the ones from Home Depot won't work?
Well,
I haven't seen the ones from Home Depot myself, or I haven't looked for them.
But they do have,
do they say N95? Do they say N95?
Some of them do, yes.
Mm-hmm. If they say N95, they're N95.
And they say NIOSH, that means they're approved, because there are some masks that put N95 on them that are not approved by our government standards, and they're mislabeled. Like the masks that you see might have like a cartoon or something on them. Those are not N95. So you really have to look at the labeling. And your mask is going to have labeling here. You need to take a look and see. Okay.
They say NIOSH, which is the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, I guess.
Yes.
Okay, I saw this meme that this lady took her bra and doubled it up and put it over her head and around her mouth and nose. Will that work?
Wow.
I have no idea how many microns at a filter.
I'll be back. Where do you keep your bra?
I have my bra right on here. I'm not taking it off.
I'm going to go to Amy's dresser and I'm going to try it on. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Yes, but you can't be exposed to coronavirus. So this is not a legitimate test.
Well, you know, I don't think that it probably, the thing is you have to have the right fit. So what fits your breast may not fit your face.
Well, I'll tell you what I did. What? We were in the movies. We went to a movie last Wednesday, and it was during the day. We thought, well, no one's going to be here. It was Star Trek. And
Star Wars.
Whatever. But of course, two seats over from me, these people brought their sick child. So the whole movie, he's coughing, and so I had to sit with the movie, because the movie theater somehow was full, with my shirt up over my nose, turned sideways. So I was trying to distance myself from this kid. I know he didn't have coronavirus, but I didn't want whatever he did.
Let me say that if there was a viral outbreak in that community, we would not be going to the movie. Oh, there she is.
That's not a good fit. Look at her nose.
That's not a good fit.
It's up open around her eyes.
Remember what you do is for a fit.
She's just trying to get it. YouTube hits.
You breathe in. Remember the proper fit. Breathe in deeply, and it should indent if there's a proper fit. Breathe out, and no air should get out. You can see there was space just between her nose and the top of her bra. But, very interesting.
She's just trying to be popular.
I'm sure she's very popular with the male viewers.
I mean, I have a fancy bra and I could do that too and get some hits, but I'm not into that. I'm not. I'm a professional.
Let me go back and see if there's any some questions I asked, the ones that were just recently. Again, how about any boosting your immune system is the biggest, one of the biggest keys. And what do you, what some of the things you guys recommend to do that? Besides elderberry, which we've talked about, are there just eating better?
Well, of course, there's lots of different
fruits and vegetables. Fruits. We need to make
berries high in antioxidants.
Absolutely.
Vitamin C.
I went to the grocery store today, he asked me to get fruit. I got him bananas. I got him oranges. I got him apples.
I bought strawberries
and blueberries. Another really good one. Strawberries were actually on sale today. I don't know why. Oh, you know what? Probably because Valentine's Day is coming up. But fruits and vegetables. If they say shop the outside of the store, not the inside of the store.
Right.
So you go along the fresh things. I go for anything that says organic, you know, non-pesticide, no high fructose corn syrup. Read your labels. Just try to eat a healthy diet without preservatives and
high in fruits, weird food. High in fruits and vegetables. Maintain a healthy weight for your height and age.
Exercise.
Don't smoke. If you drink alcohol, drink in moderation. Get a lot of sleep and hydrate yourself.
Yes, that's important. I actually want to really emphasize sleep because there's probably very few of us that get enough sleep. We all go to bed late. We have to watch Hulu and Netflix and Disney Plus and I don't know what other 100 other stations that we can get on-demand movies. Oh, Apple Plus now has a movie subscription. But anyway, we're staying up too late. We're not getting enough sleep. We have got so much on our mind. We're inundated with information.
And we're chronically dehydrated. We do not get enough fluids.
Hand me that water right now.
That's right. Here's some water.
Please.
Basically, I was told by a registered dietitian that I should be drinking.
There you go.
Basically, my the number of ounces that I weigh in kilograms every day. So for me, that would be
240. 80, yeah,
about 80 ounces or so, you know, about 175.
80
so
ounces, and this one is 16?
16. Yeah, so I got to eat five of these, drink five of these a day to be normally hydrated, according to her.
Give her water.
Which he never does. And they yell at him every time he goes in there. You're not
some water, right?
You're not.
Don't drink after each other.
No, that's okay. We're not sick.
Okay. So I went to Home Depot this week and I did find they have latex gloves. Mm-hmm. They have goggles. They have Tyvek suits. I didn't see any with the hoodie. I didn't buy any of it. We've been doing this a while.
Your investigation, right?
Yeah. And they actually, they had individual, like a pack of three or five N95 masks, the bulk ones of 20. I didn't see any of them left, but everything that you're discussing that you've kind of for prevention, the goggles, they were like $5. The gloves, you could buy boxes of 100. Is there any particular ones? There's latex, non-latex, all this
kind of? Yeah, you should use nitrile gloves, the non-latex variety. Well, there's an epidemic of latex allergies in this country.
Yeah, and I just want to show them the word nitrile. Nitrile.
So that's what it looks like. And basically, what happens is that you may not be allergic to it yourself, but the people that you're touching, that you're giving care to, may be allergic and may wind up having some ill effect as a result of it. So there are a lot of latex allergies in this country, and so always go with nitrile gloves if you can.
Okay, I'm going to go back. You actually had a slide. I don't know where it is. Just hang on 1 minute. Of course, you sell a lot of this stuff in your store, but right here. It is. Let me hit this. Whoops, wrong button. Now I'm going to share that slide. So right here. So right, I mean, you have kits for this on your store, right?
We have pandemic kits.
I just want to say a quick history about that. We actually started selling this in 2014. I didn't just come up with this a week ago and say, oh my gosh, I need to put together a pandemic kit. This kit, if anyone wants to use the Wayback Machine, has been on my store since October of 2014. So for over 5 years, this has been my pandemic
hit. Keep that slide up.
Yeah.
That you're looking at just a portion of the pandemic kit, and by the way, those biohazard bags are also part of it. You get a few of the smaller ones, you get a couple of the big ones, right? And you get regular masks, and you get N95 masks, and you get the coveralls and gloves. Go to the website.
Face shields,
goggles. I don't want this to be.
I'm an option if you need it.
I know you don't want to sell your products.
No.
But I did see this, and I called you guys today, and we talked, and all I heard in the background was Joe taping. Yeah. And Amy kept saying, "Stop it. I can't hear. Stop it."
I'll tell you, if
we've been inundated, I will say I've been very blessed by my resource, which is a hospital supplier, the biggest hospital supplier in the world, or at least in this country, Medline. And they've been hooking me up. I got very, very lucky because they're now rejecting every single order that comes through for any of these items is immediately rejected. And I know this because I tried to order something haven't ordered in the past 2 weeks, and it was immediately rejected. Thankfully, it's not part of this kit.
They're
shutting everybody down.
I'll tell you why. Is they had one order that was for 1 million masks.
Told me he had one order for 1 million masks over the weekend. I don't know where it was going.
Was that from China?
it absolutely could have been. He didn't tell me who it was from. But, there's a serious, serious shortage.
I suspect the military.
I just placed an order today. It says it's in progress for 10 more cases of these N95 masks because they're going crazy, insane buying them. And I'm trying to keep up because I know people want them, and it makes you feel good when you are a prepper and you want to be prepared for something that may or may not happen, that you have it. And goodness, this doesn't go bad. Thank goodness. Your goggles don't go bad. Your biohazard doesn't go bad. Your surgical masks don't go bad. So these are kits actually that you can keep for a long, long time. They don't have, things that are just going to expire on you. So, which is a good thing.
So let me ask you this question.
Okay.
So I'm looking at this photo of things that you have in this kit. What would you say the percentage of the items in that kit are actually made in America, or would they be made in China?
I would say none. I will tell you, I just looked at the box when I was looking at these N95s. These are made in Malaysia.
Okay. Because people that make the goggles and the gloves, when they have a major outbreak, other countries won't be able to get them.
No, they won't. Right. I'm trying to see where this is made.
And I'm not jumping on you guys for buying things from China, because some things aren't made in America anymore.
Vietnam.
Made in Vietnam.
Vietnam.
DuPont. Everyone can
DuPont.
Read DuPont.
So this
made
is a
classic,
American company. Made in Vietnam, and
it's just the way it is.
We are not making things in this country anymore.
No,
this is so made, we have to go these look. Are made in China. It says right there, made in China.
Right.
It's what am I gonna do?
I know, I'm not blaming you guys. It's just, that's a I'm a America first kind of guy.
They took over our industries. It's really horrible, it's really sad, and I would love it to change. I would love for every single item that I ever sell to be made by, some small mom and pop business in America.
Well,
just
at
like
least,
we are.
At least it's designed and packed by a small mom and pop business.
That's true.
So when American companies can get this, who's going to get it first? The military. Government?
Military.
Yes, military and government.
And government.
I guarantee you they have already contacted this company and said, we're first. We're first, and you need to, because I got an email. I got an email from the rep, actually my rep's boss, 2 days ago when I saw aprons that I ordered were rejected. I have never seen an order that I've ever replaced rejected, but I hadn't ordered it within the past 90 days. Like I had ordered everything else. I knew over the weekend I needed to get this quickly. And last week I started ordering. Every day I've placed at least 4 or 5 orders. It was the first rejection. She wrote me a letter and she said, Sorry, all orders for anything that has to do with pandemic preparedness will be immediately rejected and reviewed for purchase within the past 90 days. So they're just shutting everybody down, and then they'll let you know if they're going to allow you to buy that or not.
Now, you had mentioned, Forrest, Dr. Hatfield, and I had a couple of notes from his interview, and he basically said what I suspected is that these orders are going to what's called a strategic national stockpile. And that, you would think, is something that, well, that would go to the citizens if a, you know, outbreak of, let's say, coronavirus turned out to be something really bad. But he says it's actually just meant to maintain the continuity of government. Mm-hmm. To maintain, and the theory is that if you can maintain the government, then society won't destabilize and you'll still have a country. But the items that these that the government is buying doesn't necessarily go to its citizens. It goes to whatever it takes to maintain the continuity of government.
So right now they're having somewhat of a situation in China. And I guarantee you a lot of these masks are, they make a lot of masks in China. I guarantee you, company, it might not be 3M, it's another company. And as soon as they're coming off the production line, they're going to cities, governments, militaries throughout China as fast as they can make them. If that happens in America, we won't have enough masks. We wouldn't have enough masks for the city of New York.
I'll tell you one thing.
And we wouldn't be able to get them either.
And yeah. Not only that,
that's already a problem. If you've looked on Amazon, that most of those sellers are out. This is currently unavailable.
Right. We just happen to
I've already seen it.
Yeah. But I wanted to just say one other thing is that we don't have enough hospital beds. Our medical infrastructure, even though it's a lot better than it was a few years ago, we learned some hard lessons with Ebola when that guy from Liberia came over and wound up dying here and infecting a couple of nurses in Dallas. We changed a lot of our systems. So we have more hospital beds than we've had before that can handle infectious disease. But according to the virologist that Steve interviewed a while ago, basically he says that we have 200% less beds than we need, hospital beds than we need it for contagious disease outbreaks. And we have 400% less intensive care unit beds. Mm-hmm. And the intensive care unit beds are what people are going to need if there was a coronavirus outbreak here, because 1 in 5, as I mentioned, wind up having pretty severe respiratory damage. Actually, the virus attacks the linings, the cells that line the lungs. And so that is a big issue. I mean, it really taxes the infrastructure medically, not only in places like China, but it would wreak the same havoc here in the United States.
You know what else Dr. Hatfield said? The McCrory's were, no, that's
yeah. McCrory's are a bunch of sons of guns, aren't they? Yeah.
he said that I think our healthcare system right now is down 50,000 healthcare workers.
That's true, especially and down doctors too, especially in general practice. General practice and family doctors, it's not sexy anymore. Everybody wants to be a specialist, wants to be doing, dermatology or reading x-rays, things like that, you know, not touching people. And so that's why I think it's important that we train physician's assistants and nurse practitioners like Amy.
Thank you.
And I'm a big supporter. I was one of the first doctors in the state of Florida to have midwives in an obstetric practice along with other doctors that I had. And I still believe that strongly. And it's still being fought tooth and nail by at least the Florida Medical Association.
It's
a huge turf battle. Let's not talk.
Nope, not going to talk about it.
But they, anyhow, that's that.
So someone just asked for your website, and I always do this wrong. Okay, I'm putting it up now. It's doomandbloom.net. they didn't come on here to sell anything. And they, and
oh, I don't care if you buy it.
But you need
buy to buy the appropriate stuff.
Yeah, you need to buy stuff from these guys. They're here to help you.
No, not what we're saying. And, well, but anyhow, thank you. Thank you very much. Nice. But what the important thing is that we publish the contents of all of our kits freely for anybody to see. We don't care if you buy any of our stuff. We just want you to get the stuff on the list.
And also, they in their medical on their survival medical handbook, there's information in there that you can't get other places, like the fish antibiotics, how much to take if someone gets sick, if you've if you have a an infection or whatever. You can't get that information. They have that with weight. Your weight. Oh yeah, and then there's the new one you guys that you just held up. But these guys have been in the industry forever. They help preppers. I don't know a prepper that doesn't really. I don't know a prepper that doesn't have your survival medical handbook or I'm medicine sorry, handbook.
Fine. Thank you.
It's like a staple. You have to own that. Do you have to have that knowledge? And you can't. We're not all doctors, but that information can help us when information is impossible. So you can't, don't get the electronic copy. I don't even know if you have electronic copy. You need the actual physical copy of the book. Let me tell you how nice they are. So we're in Asheville. I know you guys remember this. You probably don't want me to tell you this story, but the guy who was working the booth with me had that, a earlier edition of the survival medical handbook or medicine handbook. I keep pronouncing it. And he had all these sticky notes and underline. You remember that?
I do.
And it was worn.
It looked like he had attached it to the back of his truck and dragged it down a dirt road for about 10 miles.
And it was worn.
It was used and abused and loved.
And you loved, you grabbed the book and you brought it to your heart and you go, oh, I love seeing this. And you were so impressed, you went to your booth, you got the latest version, and you gave it to him free of charge.
I had to.
I mean, that is just crazy. I mean, that says volumes about, you know what else you did for this guy? I'm not sure if you knew this, but he talked to you about a bag. He bought the big first aid bag or trauma bag, and he didn't get like the latest stuff you put in it, and you gave him that as well.
Oh yeah, I went through it to see what I had added because I can't stand any square inch in my bags. I got to put something else in it. So I've been adding over the past 10 years and he had bought it a couple of years earlier. So I was like, let me see what I've added since you bought it.
Right.
And I gave him all that stuff. Yeah, because I want him to have the good stuff.
That's awful nice. You've never given me anything.
Except my love, Wait.
I do have a story, quick story. So we went out to eat on a Friday night. And
I remember.
And I came back and, you know, I'm waiting for the check. And my friend Eric said, Dr. Bones took care of her, Joe took care of her. I'm like, oh, okay. And I thanked you. So the very next night we go out to eat. And I remember getting up at the right before you even was thinking about the bill. I went to the actual waitress and said, hey, I'm buying this table's food. And she goes, no, that gentleman's already given me his credit card. And I was trying to maybe help, you know, to get you back and pay for it. You already handed her your credit
card. You're very
card.
Sweet. No, we like to take care of people when we go out to dinner with them.
We've been blessed to buy our relationships with so many people, great people like you, Forrest.
We give like and give so and give. We're going to give till we're not here anymore.
And a lot of the people that are listening right now in the chat room, where we know them, we've met them at shows,
and
talked to them. So we're just very, very glad to be part of the preparedness community.
Well, let's wrap this up with a couple of things.
Okay.
You do have things for sale. I mean, I know that's not why you're doing this.
Do.
You
we
have
do.
Some videos.
Yes,
we do.
Like hundreds of, yes, lots of them.
you got doomandbloom.net, and people can find your store there. Your book is there. They can also go to Amazon and get the book, but buy it from your store because you make more money off of it.
No, actually, we're fine with Amazon. They're our publisher. So no, you're not hurting my feelings. Okay. The only reason I offer it is just in case somebody wants a little signature. Otherwise, please buy it wherever you want.
We sign the books if you buy them from the store.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, I know you're going to be, I'm looking forward, we're going to be at Heritage Life Skills together.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's coming up in
May.
May.
May. That's May. Eighth, you're going to talk on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then May 9th, we're actually going to do a suture class. That's a suture stapling wound care class. I think they put us at 1 o'clock for that. And then that's it. And then Sunday is another day of hanging out and talking with people and answering questions and making that eye-to-eye contact that we've been missing, because there really haven't been any kind of homesteading or preparedness shows for a couple of years. They really just
people are taking a nose drive. People are talking about your board game. We did a board game.
Yeah, we did a Kickstarter. I tell you, we just come up with the craziest ideas sometimes. Let's make a board game.
They're like board games.
Oh my gosh, that was fun.
So any other announcements or where you're going to be or anything? And
Heritage Life Skills would be, I guess, the next physical place that we're going to be.
How about any classes? I mean, you teach classes all the time, I know.
Well, yeah, but I haven't actually made a schedule. I've kind of been a little overwhelmed between the holidays, family visits, and the coronavirus.
Wow.
Sort of, you know, taking it. And I will say one thing that I haven't probably told people is I'm trying to make a little bitty book for like a pocket.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's one of our new
clubs.
It's
on my list. Yes.
Tiny people
with good eyesight. No, because we have that giant 700-page book, and you know, I know it's hard to carry around. So, you know, a little bitty book, not too many pages, just meat and potatoes.
So if we need supplies you got enough supplies for a large family? They asked, also someone said Expo in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, what is that?
I don't know. And then Mother Earth Expos. You go to Mother Earth every now and then?
Yes, we do. Yeah. Mother Earth in Texas, I thought, was that last month? I don't know. I don't remember.
What? Belton?
Asheville Council, theirs. They don't have one in Asheville this year.
I know. They're moving to, I think it was Memphis. I think they're doing one over in Memphis. Which is interesting. I haven't decided whether to go to that. You know.
And then, do you know who Southern Ohio Prepping is?
Yes, we do.
Because he's going to be on their show next Wednesday night at 9:00.
Next Wednesday,
we will be.
Yep.
We sure will.
See, I don't mind sharing the competition. They're not competition. I'm just kidding. Actually, I think I watched you guys on that channel one night or some channel.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we had David and Gail were our hosts, and that was a lot of fun.
So,
and they're actually going to teach me how to do this streaming too, this YouTube streaming.
Okay.
When I have a moment to breathe.
Well, hey, I want to thank you guys. Doomandbloom.net. That's where you go. You know their book. I mean, you got everyone here. You know them. You're like the presidents. I mean, you're like the representative of preppers.
I just want to be the surgeon.
Just make him be the
surgeon general. I want to be the surgeon Lance Corporal.
You can be the grandpa of medical prepping.
And you guys are on PrepperNet's expert panel, and I appreciate you guys doing that. You're good friends. I can't wait to see you guys. In Waynesville, North Carolina.
I certainly hope that everybody signs up for PrepperNet in their individual areas. There are so many different, how many total groups do you have now?
I think 64.
That's incredible. I mean, at a time when preparedness is sort of, you know, semi-dormant.
I think it's steady.
You really have such an active bunch of groups in PrepperNet. I think it's wonderful.
Yep. Join PrepperNet.
Well, I appreciate you. Hey guys, thank you for coming on. And gosh, we're past 11. I told people it was going to be late at night. That's just the way we work. So
we had a great time.
Short, and I'm not ever going to cut anybody off for questions
except me.
Kiss me.
Someone did say earlier Amy keeps cutting him off, and it was like,
he doesn't let me get a word in edgewise if I don't do that.
Hey guys, hey, thank you for joining us. Doomandbloom.net, preppernet.com. Appreciate it, guys, and we'll have you on in a few months, I'm sure, if not earlier.
Sounds great.
Okay. You guys right, take care. And God take care. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Prepping Academy podcast. Preppers unite at www.preppingacademy.com.
Are you a prepper or homesteader looking to connect with like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own preparedness group? Already have a group? Well, look no further than PrepperNet. PrepperNet is dedicated to personal responsibility, individual freedoms, and being self-reliant. PrepperNet has monthly meetings in over 100 cities where you can meet and learn with like-minded people in your area. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Find us online at preppernet.com.